Podcast. I am Mark, and with me, after a little hiatus, but it wasn't a hiatus. It was, it's season's greetings, Thanksgiving. Clay told me he couldn't record because he was filled with cornbread stuffing.
No, don't lie. Don't lie.
Well, was I stuffed with cornbread stuffing?
No, I woke up right on time, ready to record. I actually woke up extra early. I woke up around like 6 or 7. And then I get a text at like 8 o'clock in the morning. Hey, I actually didn't read anything because I'm super busy. Let's take a break for the holidays.
Who said that? My son must have texted you perfectly. Yeah, dude, I didn't read anything. I've had family over. And I don't know, man. It was just one of those things, like Thanksgiving. I guess in my mind, I just knew that I wasn't going to record. But I guess what my mind was telling me did not translate to, like, oh, man, the next step is to let the co-host know. I think that was the issue. So then I kind of remember on the day, I'm like, damn it, I haven't even told him. So yeah, I didn't read anything.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just, those comic book breaks, they're nice.
I had to work both Thanksgiving and on Black Friday. So, I was like, okay, maybe we can just get this over with, because then, on the actual Thanksgiving, it's going to be crazy because I was going to eat early, like breakfast, brunch, Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And then, like, my actual bosses, because I have multiple bosses at work, they were each bringing a turkey like every 3 hours to work.
Jesus.
To fill in like the different shifts at work. And so like I stuffed my face all day.
And I didn't even eat turkey for Thanksgiving.
What?
There was a huge turkey there, but it looks, I think somebody also brought hen, like a hen, but it looked like a whole chicken. Yeah. But I thought that was the turkey. So
wow, you ate chicken on Thanksgiving.
I ate a chicken, but it looks like the turkey was the one that was shredded, and then somebody brought a hen, and it just so happened to be that the one that I ended up eating was a hen. But nah, man, I just had cornbread stuffing and Baked Mac and Cheese. And then my sister-in-law, since she knows I have this this fascination for tres leche, that's what I had for dessert.
Dude, I can't eat that. I can't. It just has like a weird aftertaste for me. I can't do it.
Your life has no purpose. I'm calling Perpetua.
Well, it's just, I
guess it depends who makes it, though, because some people, like, if you go to, like, the really, really, really Latin places, they use, like, a different type of, like, breading to do, like, the cake, but it's also, I don't know what kind of frosting they use. Like, if they went, like, old school, like, merengue, like, that really Latin, disgusting like frosting thing that they use, then yes, I can't stand it. But if they do it, kind of like my sister-in-law, she uses like the yellow moist cake, and then she puts the condensed evaporated and the regular milk, and then then it's like whipped cream. Like, she goes a little bit more, but it's like all the properties. It's just I really believe that the frosting, like if they use merengue, that just screws everything up.
Yeah, I know. The one thing that I have to eat on Thanksgiving, everybody has their like different pies, their pumpkin pie, their apple pie, whatever. My grandmother makes this blueberry pie.
Okay.
But when you think of pie, of course you think of the like crust on top and all the like flavoring, like just like inside or whatever, whether it be the berries or whatever, pecan. But my grandmother makes a cold pie, so she gets the crust, of course, the base crust. Then she puts blueberries, banana pudding, and whipped cream just on top of it. So that's all it is.
Oh, so it's just the crust, and then she just puts all the stuff on top, and you eat it like that?
Yeah.
Nice.
And she just, like, layers it with whipped cream on top. And I don't know why it's, like, the best thing since sliced bread for me, but no one else can make it like my grandmother, because even my wife, and I feel so bad for saying it, but on Thanksgiving, you know, right before I had to go to work, I was like, Graham, did you make the pie? And my wife was like, I made you that pie last time and you didn't eat it. I was like, yeah, because you're not my grandmother.
No, she shouldn't feel bad. Like, I mean, I think most wives need to know that if you're, especially with, like, Latins, that nobody can touch grandma cooking. Especially when they're, you know, you're, like, abuelita. If your grandma is still in her prime in cooking, like, she still has all, everything, even from her heyday, like, that's, it's untouchable.
Yeah.
So if they don't understand that, then, you know, that's, oof, I feel bad for you, buddy. But, yeah, grandmas are the goat.
Oh, man, it was so good. And I had, like, 3 pieces of pie, like, right then and there.
So that's, like, really messy.
It was so good. It can be, but I don't know. Just, like, the way she usually makes it, like, 2 days in advance and then puts it in the
fridge. Oh, so it hardens.
So it hardens a little bit, so that way it stays within its, like, form.
Okay. That makes sense.
But
we are talking comic books, but it's, you know, it's Thanksgiving. And now we got, you know, a whole bunch of other ones. We got Chrismukka coming because, you know, just add them all in there.
See, I am like the one pet peeve that I have is that people will start listening to Christmas music the day after Thanksgiving. I refuse to listen to Christmas music until December 1st. Now, it is December 4th today, but, like, that is one thing that I refuse to do. Like, I can't listen to Christmas music until it legitimately is December, and so I had to last, like, freaking 6 days.
And Thanksgiving was early this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, man, but Thanksgiving was good. I mean, better than you. I mean, you had to go to...
Yeah,
I mean, you had to go to work.
I had to go to work.
My entire Thanksgiving was just watching football.
Nice.
So I did the whole football scene, mainly because I was playing for the one seed in one of my leagues, and the winner, if you finish in first place, you win $50. And I was playing my cousin.
Nice.
So you best believe that I wanted to beat my cousin and win $50. So.
Nice.
That's all I was doing. And then, at least here in Charlotte, like, most of the stores open at 5 o'clock for Black Friday. And with that, my wife and I, we left.
5 in the morning? Or
no, 5 p.m. 5 p.m. Yeah, so our family, we usually do our Thanksgiving, like, the big one, like, at 1:30. Okay. So it allows everybody, since we have, like, 60 people coming, like, it lets them do their thing if they want to do anything for Black Friday. So my wife and I, we and son, we went to Target just trying to see, like, Best Buy, looking for a GoPro for when we go to China in, like, 6-7 weeks.
Yeah.
And we left Target with dog treats, foundation for my wife, and I bought a Starbucks. That was Black Friday.
No, see, so I worked, of course, like I said, after... like my actual Thanksgiving lunch. I worked until about 11:15 or so. But I recently, of course, been watching Disney Plus and setting everything up on my TV. But recently my TV has been messing up. So I was like, you know what? I want to go buy a Roku. And Rokus were like $50 off this Black Friday. So I went to Best Buy right after work. And there was one left, just the normal one. Which I should have upgraded to the one with headphones, so that way I could, like, plug it into the remote and still be able to watch TV while my wife sleeps. But I bought a Roku for Black Friday. That was, like, the craziest thing I did for Black Friday.
Well, that beats dog treats. 99 cents.
Oh, what a deal.
Seriously. Anyways, Lois Lane, number 6. Event Leviathan tie-in.
Event Cancer F.
Yeah. This, all right. This is one of those books that I am in the Clay train where it is, you know, it's completely stopping momentum. You had three good issues. Then you have the little bit of the tie-in with Lois yelling at Clark for, you know, taking her thunder. and not trusting her. Then you have the Jonathan one. And then we go back to the latest issue, and that was a great issue. That was like, ooh, back to the roots. Like, we're getting back into the, you know, the nice journalism. And now this, you know, I understand why this is happening. This is my issue. I feel like this book only holds weight for somebody that is a longtime reader of Superman. If you are somebody that jumped into DC Comics during the Rebirth era, I mean, I think that we've only seen General Lane. What was the whole Mixie? Reborn?
Superman Reborn.
Yeah, Reborn. Yes. I feel like so that's when you started seeing him.
We saw Lane there, and then we saw Lane again.
I think at the end of Tomasi's
during
run.
The Booster Gold Superman story in action. That's Jurgens.
Jurgens. No, but which is the one where Lois and Sam were fighting and Clark went to Sam and like brought him back home to the house for like dinner, and he wanted to like reintroduce, like, hey, let's start over.
That was Tomasi's run.
Yeah.
So both Jurgens and Tomasi had him at the end of their runs. Yeah. And then we saw them after that we didn't see
until
him again.
Leviathan,
until, no. No, until Bendis had Lois tell...
Oh, tell him about... tell her the secret. Tell him the secret.
The secret.
In which he walked away, yeah. And then I think it was Leviathan. So,
yes.
I mean, you've probably have seen him a total of 5 issues.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite possibly, you know, 5, a handful, whatever. But here's my big thing. If you look at this cover for Lois Lane, number 6, right underneath, it says a 12-issue maxi series. Whenever you see maxi series, mini series, that means that there is a confined time for a story, which leaves no room, absolutely no room, to attempt to throw it in with main continuity type crap like this. And I'm sorry, like, I don't think Event Leviathan is main continuity, but Bendis wants every part of his writing in everybody else's book, and we've already gotten Grown-Up John talking about the Legion in issue 3 or 4, and now we have an entire 24 pages, or 22 pages, of something we did not need. You wasted 22 pages on something that could move the story forward, and instead you wanted to talk about somebody who majority, like you said, don't even know who this character is, don't know the impact other than Lois Lane's father. So
I mean, well, let me preface it by saying that I see both sides of the coin, because this is an issue that, with me being a huge Superman fan, I know that the history, and I think that with the limited amount of pages, they were at least able to, during the Rebirth era, kind of sprinkle some of the tension that is between them. And even from when she was just, you know, like a teenager, the Army Brat, you could see that there's always been tension within this family, and especially within them. I mean, I personally liked the issue. I understand the criticism that it deserves in terms of, like, man, this is a limited series, but they're kind of making you want to feel for this father-daughter relationship. But we've never really had, if you're new, let's say after like Metal or something, because I feel like there's always jumping on points. So let's just say Metal, because Metal was really big. A lot of people were jumping on. I just don't think that there's been enough to make you be like, okay, yeah, so her dad died. It looks like it wasn't good. And it could feel like that. It could feel very empty. But for me, I mean, year 14 of me reading comics, mainly DC. So for me, I'm like, oh, man, okay, this I can see what Bendis was trying to do here. But, I mean, it goes both ways, because I think you can't only assume that the readers here are the old school readers. So I think that this is a book that can have like two multiple receptions like two different types of receptions. And I think that depending on who the reader is and their experience, will allow them. Like, I wish seeing like Lucy here. I mean, I wish I saw a little bit more of Lucy. Because I don't know why. I mean, well, my recollection sucks, but I feel like the last time I've seen Lucy, she was like Superwoman for a while, like before Flashpoint.
Yeah.
I feel like that was like the last time. I mean, I'm sure I've seen her, but you know, her presence is never like here. I feel like that moment in the funeral scene where she refused to take the flag. Yeah, when they rolled the flag, you know, just like, you know, kind of like
I'm actually on that page. Yeah, right,
like
now,
with
yeah,
the custom and seeing that, like I can see that. And yes, like Lois in the whole entire moment, you know, in this entire issue, she's kind of like stone faced. But I don't know. I seeing the end where, you know, you see like the finally, like it's just them alone, and she's like, man, we were so close, like where he could have believed, and he couldn't believe, like he could have believed in you, like it's. You know, I'm sure that that's something that can be, like, I think the issue worked really well. It's just, it's...
It worked really well for what it was, but if you go all the way down to the very end where it says end, it says, DC Comics presents, or proudly presents, Lois Lane in The Enemy of the People, Part 6. This does not feel like a Part 6.
No.
This feels like a random, just
throw this,
in.
This right here...
And that is my problem.
Yeah, this should have been, like what I believe, I think they did this with, like, a Heroes in Crisis, where they just had a, like, a tie-in.
Yeah, if they wanted to do a Lois Lane, like, just one shot of the, of just this.
And then just, and then just introduce what issue 6 would have been later on and kind of have her go back to, you know, that stuff. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or if for some dumb reason DC decided, hey, this is technically 12 issues, then, you know, technically 12 issues is the, I guess, well, not anymore, but the minimum requirement for books to get an annual. You could even put the annual as this issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this has just been an established ongoing title that I just feel like if they just had an additional comic, it probably would have not have sold. So, I mean, I get it. I understand the criticisms, but I mean, I personally liked the book.
Yeah, I wish that it, you know, that's really the only thing. It was a good story for what it was, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed reading it for the, you know, pure just good writing of freaking Rucka, and he did a really good job with the emotions. I'll be honest, when I saw Lucy Lane for the first time, I was like, who the heck is this person just bawling her eyes out in this bar? And then when I noticed, I was like, oh, this is her sister.
Yeah, at first I didn't know if it was Lucy. I was like, wait, is this like Cat Grant or something? Is she just trying to make a scene so she can like be in a gossip thing? Like, that's what I was thinking at first. But then when I heard her say like Lucy, I'm like, oh, snap. I'm like, I haven't seen Lucy since like Superwoman days.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I've seen her because, I mean, it would be kind of odd if you haven't seen her in all that time, but
yeah,
I mean, it wasn't really much of a read because it was probably, you know, 10 little thought bubbles, like word bubbles.
Yeah. Yeah. It was super quick.
I mean, there was probably a little bit more, but not by much. So it was really quick. I think I actually think that Perkins' art, because it's been very up and down, I feel like his art actually worked for an issue more doom and gloomy as what this meant.
Yeah.
There was one panel that I kind of was like, ew, which was, I think, when they were on the beach and you see Lois holding her father and Renee's there and she looks up to the sky and she's like, come on, Smallville, like, we got to get him out of here. Her neck, like, she looks like someone from, like, The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Like, I don't...
Wait, I have to see this.
I believe you're seeing it digitally. It's like, I think, like, page 6, where, like, Renee is, like, walking to her and, like, kneels on the floor.
Oh, when Lois Lane
is,
like...
Yeah, she's looking up in the sky. Yeah, that's, like, 100... That's, like, Grudge. But... But besides that one, that one actually threw me off, like, oh, God. Yeah, so...
I mean, the weird face that Lois makes to Clark when she doesn't accept the flag, that felt really weird to me. She's like...
Yeah, I don't know if that... I don't know if it was like... it kind of felt like...
Like, I'm not sure what you're supposed to get from Lois's expression. Is it like...
I don't know. It felt like one of those things where... I don't know. It was like one of those pleas, you know, like... It hurts where she is like smiling. She's like, I don't know if it's one of those things like she wanted to speak, but she just can't because of all the hurt. So I don't know. Like, I mean, I kind of took it as it
looked really weird to me at that point, but,
or that's like just her like really trying to smile, like to reassure Clark or something that she's okay, but you can clearly see that she is completely like torn by this. I don't know, but I took it as that look and that smile hurt face is supposed to be as uncomfortable as it looks.
I'm sorry, I'm going back to this stupid panel with her at the beach.
No, dude, that one got me, man. I was reading and I was like, oh, cool, all right, let's see what Renee's going to say. And then I just see her neck, I go, ah! Like, I don't know, man, that one scared me.
Oh, man. Oh, that...
Anyways,
it's so weird because she like her neck is completely shadowed, so it looks like her head is just attached to her shoulders.
No, yeah, it's a very disturbing image of
All right. But let's go ahead and jump to Justice League 37. Now,
I'm going to miss Jimenez.
If it would just open. Oh, dude, I know. I will say though, talking about weird art on this book, if you go to page 5, the splash page of all the heroes going towards the Apex Predators and Luther, of course, we know that all the, I guess, non-main Justice Leaguers are outside fighting the good fight, while all of the Justice Leaguers are inside the hall. They're pulling up this plan to basically recreate the totality and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But look at this page, this spread page. Everything looks pretty good considering how many people are on this page.
Yeah.
Supergirl's face, a little weird. But look at Guy Gardner.
Oh, man, yeah, man. Supergirl's forehead is jacked up. Okay, all right.
But
so, Guy Gardner.
Look at Guy Gardner.
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome. I mean, he looks like he's like, if this is from Deceased, but I feel like if there's one character, I feel like Guy Gardner should be that guy that's just like, let's go, man. Like, I feel like this is why he became a Green Lantern. For moments like, dude, this just to mess things up.
He almost looks like the Vulture from Spider-Man.
Yeah, kind of. Man, I would actually say Supergirl looks more disturbing than Guy Gardner.
Oh yeah, I would say so also. I don't know if there was supposed to be an extra layer of like pencils, like for the bangs that he forgot to put on.
Maybe.
But like, her forehead goes to like the center of the top of her head, or at least that's how it looks.
No, yeah, it's pretty bad. But I don't know, man. I actually think that Guy Gardner one looks pretty... Like, I don't even know if he did that on purpose, just because it is Guy Gardner, and Guy Gardner's just like, one of those guys that...
His mouth is completely open, like he's, like, yelling, but just, like, his pose and everything else, how he's running, he just looks goofy as hell.
Yeah, he kind of... Or, like, Norman, when, like, Norman's gonna, like, convert into the Green Goblin.
Well, yeah, because, like, the light from the Green Lantern ring... is like shining on his face, so like everything just looks jacked up on his face. It is hilarious. I laughed for a good like 3 minutes whenever I read this thing. But like I was saying, the main Justice Leaguers, along with Green Lantern, Alan Scott, and Starman from the JSA as well, they are all inside trying to recreate this totality. And everything seems to be working. And then there is just like a giant explosion outside. The connection with everybody is severed. Miss Martian can't reach anybody. But we jump back to Hawkgirl and Shane fighting the Anti-Monitor. And I believe they call him by like a different name. I think Perpetua calls him by a different name. But of course, that's probably his like real name.
Well, when they said like Mobius?
But Mobius. And, you know, Hot Girl's putting up a good fight, and then all of a sudden, freaking Jon Stewart comes out of nowhere with the Flash car, and just the panel when he gets out of the car, I need that poster.
That's that looks well, just awesome. Just the left part. The left, like the main, like the large. Yeah, it's a really, really good scene, and I think those are like those moments where you see Jimenez. I think Jimenez it really shines in the more detailed, like in the splash pages. I don't think, you know, there are very few artists that put as much detail into the background like a Liam Sharp. You know, you're like, you got one of those guys, you're like, Jesus Christ, man, that's like how much that page that when he teases on Twitter, that like that must have taken you like 6 years. Like he's been talking to Grant Morrison since like Y2K.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It is super crazy what he can do with a background. But I absolutely love this, just like the way it shines and just the way the stature that Jon Stewart has, it's really like, hey, I'm here to save you type thing. And we actually jump to Perpetua on Earth 44. Now, this was a surprise because I have not seen these characters in quite some time. Earth 44 is the Tio Maro Hero Earth with the robotic Justice League. And I was like, for me, whenever I think of Tio Maro, of course, I think of the villain. I think of the creator of the Red Tornado. But here he is standing up and he is like saying, hey, we are not
He's got his pipe.
Oh, yeah. He has his pipe in his mouth and everything. He's just like, you know what? I'm not going to be here and just, you know, succumb to doom. Do whatever you want to do. You know, we're still going to stand here and fight. And that's when Perpetua hears Marvel. She hears the Anti-Monitor's cry for help. And so she's like, you know what? You don't want to change your mind? You don't want to fight for Doom, Tio Maro? Then fine. I will put you right over here. And she grabs the actual planet, Earth 44, and hurls it towards the Anti-Monitor, Shane, and all those people. Mm-hmm. Just like tosses the entire planet across the multiverse.
Now, I will say this. When you're looking at here, I mean, I know that obviously Perpetua has, you know, she's continuing to build strength. But I feel like I am liking less and less her design the more power she's getting. I feel...
Oh, yeah, like, so right here when she's about to, like, grab the Earth or whatever, her face, the design for her face compared to what it was back, like, 4 issues ago, I feel like has completely changed.
And I feel it's just because, obviously, yes, she's regaining more strength and, you know, she's more, you know, towards her full form. I don't know why, man. I found her more, like, menacing. And obviously, yeah, I mean, she's still being creepy as hell. And all that kind of, I don't know. I just think, like, giving her more of a full-form shape, I feel like has kind of, like, lessened, you know, how terrifying she actually was.
Yeah. She looks like, have you ever seen, what was that movie, The Emperor's New Groove?
Is that, like, the one with the llama?
Yeah. Yeah. You ever seen that? Okay. Do you know the bad guy from that movie?
I don't remember him, but let me... I mean, I can Google him up, but... Yeah, go ahead.
Her name is Yzma. And she's like this old, decrepit lady. That's what Perpetua looks like. Like, at this point, like, just because of, like, how... I don't know what her, like, her final form is still going to be this, like,
super skinny... Oh, man, that's good. That's a good one.
Like you see
it? No, that's a really good one. Good Lord.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
But she throws the Earth, and because of just how fast the Earth is, like, hurtling through space, it's causing the atmosphere of that Earth to, you know, go up in flames. All you see one panel of them completely disintegrating.
That's actually a pretty great splash page.
Like, I really
the effects
enjoyed it.
Of seeing her throwing it, and you're seeing, like, I actually thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool too, but not as cool as the World Forger being a complete boss and having the most amazing batting swing for Earth 44. Like, he basically knows that Earth 44 is basically destroyed.
And he knows that this is the only chance that he has to get Hawkgirl and Shane back, because he just does not have the strength to be able to open up a portal.
So he is sacrificing what is left of Earth 44 to open a portal. And as soon as it gets close enough, he actually slams his hammer into the Earth 44. It creates a portal. But before we see any of that, we actually see more of the aftermath that is going on Earth with the Hall of Justice and Lex Luthor. We get to see a little spotlight with Black Lightning, Dr. Fate, and Zatanna.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the art here is a little wonky, but I still love Zatanna's design here. I love the colors that pop here. We still see that Bruce is the pilot for the Hall of Justice trying to fight Lex Luthor. But as soon as Lex thinks, you know, they're down for the count, we see an awesome final page of the entire Justice League, not Batman, but everybody else, walking out of this light, which is the portal that we can assume, because we see Hawkgirl in the background with her wings.
Now I actually have to admit, looking at it now, I didn't even see Hawkgirl. I think I was just so mesmerized by seeing, like, Diana and Clark. Like, I only paid attention to the bottom.
Now, see, my thing
is... Which
is
weird, considering where I have to read. But I'm actually looking at it now, and I'm like, oh my god, Kendra's there, and she looks gorgeous. She has, like, the...
The inclusion of Miss Martian is a little weird, but I understand that a lot of people want her to be more in comics, and they love her character. And, you know,
well, we also don't know the fate of what's going to happen to John Jones. So,
exactly.
So I think that, you know, having, like, that Manhunter, it makes me kind of feel like, oh man, is this the Seven? Like, will this be the Seven moving forward?
A little tease for 5G.
Quite possibly.
I can see that.
So we'll see.
But I can assume that maybe them lighting up, and it may just be for a dramatic effect, but, you know, the S on the Superman shield is glowing, his belt is glowing, the symbol and belts of everybody else are glowing.
I would have loved to see, like, streaks down Flash, kind of like the way that Carmine G. Nicomigolo, the guy that did the Flash before, like, in the beginning of Rebirth.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I would have loved to have seen, like, streaks of, like, kind of, like, lightning, kind of, like, tell, like, this guy is, like, on hyperdrive.
That would have been awesome.
But, I mean, that's not, like, a nitpick. I was just, like, I'm looking at it now.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But I can assume that this is possibly the totality, like, giving them power. That's what I assume. So maybe, you know, they do have an upgrade. Maybe they are in hyperdrive or whatever. So I am ready for this big showdown. It's in 2 weeks. And then after that, like, next, because this is 37. So next issue is the penultimate issue for Scott Snyder.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes, man.
Yeah, and I'm curious. I mean, I'm going to assume that it's probably, like, Francis Manable that's going to be the one ending it, because, you know, next issue is going to be another crazy, you know, like, bombastic one. So you would think that it's probably going to be him, but I'm curious, like, who's the artist of choice to end it all? Greg Capullo.
Well,
no.
Well, I think that Jimenez is going to be on the last issue, I think.
Oh, do you think it's going to be kind of like a... Like every artist that has been part of been a part of his run.
Let's see here, February 2020.
Oh, you're looking at the solicits.
I'm just gonna look at the solicits real quick just to confirm if he is gonna be on that last issue. I am seeing everything else except for Justice League. Come on now. That's Batman, Superman, that's Flash Forward. Oh my god. Oh wait, you know what? These are all in alphabetical order. Okay.
Play. Come on.
I know. And I'm even looking at the wrong freaking solicits. It's not February, it's January.
Do you need my help? Do you need my help, man?
Okay, right here. Alright, so Justice League. Art by George Jimenez. So next issue may not be Jimenez. It may be accumulation of...
Because the last time we've been seeing like Manupal and like Howard Porter kind of working together, right?
Yeah, yeah. Manupal and Porter, and quite possibly what's his name? Who replaced Jimenez after? Is it? Oh my gosh, I can't remember his name.
I don't remember. I'm not going to remember that. Yeah, I have no idea, but it's fine. I mean, whoever it is, it's going to be probably somebody that has collaborated already with Snyder in the past, and just kind of keeping that all there. But nah, man, I dug it. I thought that this was, it was another fast read. But I think that this is more like all the slowness that we've been seeing throughout this run, and building up all that exposition. Now it's just like, oh, let's just go nuts.
But speaking of slow runs and exposition, I'll tell you a book that doesn't have any.
Oh.
Batman 84. Now, I wanted to text you so bad to talk about this book, and I think we texted back and forth maybe about one or two things within this book, but I don't know your full thoughts about this. So, high-level thoughts... Like, what did you think about the book overall? High level.
High level. I mean, it was executed very odd. It was really odd. Like, I feel like this is a book that I should have been reading, like, if I'm reading, like, you know, back in the day while I was... You know, like reading like my like Jewish Bible, and I have to read things from right to left. I felt like this is like a book that this is like one of those books that the way it was being read, you would think that there was going to be a cool payoff, and then there wasn't, and you're like, whoa, okay, so what was the point? I mean, I feel like we've had so many of these sort of issues where it's just like bringing you back and kind of like explaining, oh, like this is what happened at this time and this is what happened at this time. Like, I get it. All right. Like, what is Thomas Wayne's motivations? I mean, I feel like we didn't even need this issue, because if you don't remember the button, like if you were reading the button and now he's there, like connect the dots. Like, why else will he be there after such a monumental part, you know, like issue in the button where he doesn't want him to be Batman? I mean, I think that was quite clear. So to kind of, I mean, I guess like the one thing.
There is literally no other reason than, oh, he becomes me. He becomes Batman.
Yeah.
That is not good enough. Because he has been saying that since freaking, when was the last time we actually, like. When was the first time? I think the first time that he actually said, like, oh, don't become me, was, of course, partly in the button. And then after that was, like, issue 60-something?
When they, like, maybe, like, when they fought. When they fought In the desert.
In the desert. So in issue, 60-something. 63 or something.
It was a while ago. I mean, I think that that
now,
was...
Now, let me just tell everybody who thinks that Tom King likes to play the long game. I have seen two examples of this on Twitter already. They are showing the page from Batman 22 showing that, like, oh, we, you know, showing the same thing that this book does here about how he is saying, don't be Batman, and it shows Batman and Flash on the Chocobo treadmill, but for some reason,
I think that was an artist mess up that, you know, you're seeing the reverse Flash there instead of...
I was going to say, it doesn't help the case whatsoever. Yeah. If you're going to make a really crappy book, you better have really good art, and this still screws it up, because you have the reverse Flash on Batman.
When I've read this, and even like with other reviewers who I've spoken with, I feel like everyone caught that so quickly that it makes me wonder, like, how the... You know, like, okay, George Fornes. I mean, I don't even...
How did the editors... Then, how did the editors...
I'm pretty sure Tom wanted to see it. And then, like, the editor, I'm like, how do you guys not see quite clearly that, you know, Barry is Eobard Thawne right behind... I was like, man, that is such a... Especially when this is supposed to be a payoff from a past issue.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is not him saying, hey, look, I've been planning this from the beginning. This is literally just taking a page from an old issue and putting it in a new one with different art. That is not... This is paying homage. This isn't playing the long game.
Yeah, I mean...
Don't say that he's playing the long game when you're just throwing old work into your new work.
Yeah, it's...
Now,
it's...
also, with this, he says, we rise, he jumps through. Okay? Now, the page before that, because it is going back in time and not forward in time within this book, you see Eobard Thawne, you see Reverse Flash drop Thomas Wayne off into our main timeline, and then he runs away.
As punishment.
Yeah. Here is where, and I'm sorry, you can bleep this out in editing, or if you want to keep it through, you can keep it through. This is where Tom King fucked up. I will say this. If anybody remembers the button, what was the one important thing at the very end of that issue, or very end of that story arc? Eobard Thawne ran away into the Speed Force, got caught by somebody, and was immediately melted into a skeleton.
Yes.
Immediately after.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the morgue in a coroner's office for another 3 issues until he came back to life in The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Tom King, I'm sorry. This makes no sense whatsoever. And I think maybe the whole thing with Joker saying he got a call from a banana, I think that's supposed to be a joke for Skeets. I think.
I can't even know. Like, I didn't know from there.
It's the was Joker, it Skeets? So...
Was it Eobard because he's yellow? I mean, like, you...
Exactly.
You don't know.
So here's the thing. The one thing that everybody's been asking for, are you going to have an explanation? Are you going to have an explanation? Hey, where does Skeets play off in this? He disregarded everything to try to be clever, and it fell flat on its face. This was not worth it. I have been... Like, me and you have both. We have had our ups and downs with this book. We have loved some issues. We have hated some others. We have been okay with how the book has gone.
I have loved his run all the way till Nightmares. Since Nightmares, there's been more. That's when you're getting a lot of ebbs and flows, but there's been more ebbs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Tom King has fallen flat. And... I don't know if this is something that, you know, DC themselves has said, hey, you need to just throw this out there so that way you can go ahead and get started on your Batcat book. And don't get me wrong, Batcat is probably going to be super gorgeous because Clayman is on it. But as far as the story, I'm not sure where that's going to go or if I should even care.
It's, in terms of the positives, besides that huge mishap by George Fornes, I have slowly grown to love his work. And, like, I think the first time I saw him, I'm like, okay, all right, like, I like this. But I've grown to, like, love his book on Batman. Like, I love his work. I enjoyed seeing the moments. Like, all right, where were the moments that Thomas was, you know, witnessing Bruce doing life? So when you're seeing them, like, in the Super Friends, like, in the carnival, seeing him propose, those moments... I mean, I like seeing it because I always like to see, like, where is the villain getting this motivation? Like, where was he in terms of following their life? So that part I thought was okay. Like, it was cool, but I don't know, man. It just, there was nothing to it. I mean, I feel that this book should have just been done in reverse. No pun intended with the Reverse Flash on here. But, I mean, I could have seen it more where you have him on the floor after getting punched in the, you know, just there and saying, like, son, stay down or, like, are you ready, whatever. And then show everything that you end up seeing in this book and have it end maybe saying, like, for Alfred. I feel like those would have been one of those moments where I'm like, oh, okay, at least it's building to, like, a fight or something. I don't know. It's just, like, this was a book I'm like, I don't know how many explanation books I need. To explain something, I felt that the motivations were just really, that's been like thrown in your face. That's like Marvel eyes where you don't need the explanation. Just throw it in my face. I'm like, I'm getting it. Like it wasn't deep. It was very surface level.
And the one thing, and I know that you've already talked about the wonkiness of this whole book is and how it's supposed to be read and everything else. This reminded me of freaking Bendis's Forrest Gump Legion book earlier. Like
when you said like Bendis trope, I was like, all right, I know what he's talking about. And then.
So I'm yeah. Exactly. And so I looked at the pages just now. If you do not count the like current timeline pages, which is page 3 on the digital and page 22 on the digital. I think it's 22. Yes, yeah, we'll 22. Like now. You get 17 pages of nothing.
Just earlier.
So reading it backwards from page 21 to page 4.
I mean, earlier wouldn't work if you read it backwards, but if you just...
I know, it wouldn't, but we're trying to get the story of Thomas Wayne. Yeah. You're like, okay, this is working in a singular sort of fashion. So it also shows here that he killed Bane in the exact same way as he did here in the current timeline.
Well, we find out that he didn't even kill Bane. Bane's actually in a coma.
Well, same.
But I know what you mean.
But he shot him in the head. He shot him in the head. Then you find out that he met Catwoman, and they started working together. Because
but the Catwoman from his depressed. Time, like his Earth.
His Earth and his timeline. And how she was, you know, pitiful and she had nothing to live for. And she, you know, and basically Thomas Wayne gave her a reason to live. They fought together. They took down these bad guys, blah, 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 blah. You find out that Martha Joker killed Catwoman. And then he had nothing to live for. And that's when you notice the Flashpoint, you know, shenanigans going on. And for some reason, the Flashpoint universe stayed in contact, but gives no reason for that either. Tom King doesn't give any reason for that.
He's not going to give any reason to it, because that's just going to just open so many more questions where it's just like, it's kind of like he just leaves it there and then we're going to just be like, well, what does he mean? And then we come up with the theories, but then it's like the more you poke at the hole, you're going to see that it's really...
But here's the problem with that. The more excuses his fans give, give legitimacy to this horrible book.
Yeah, yeah, no. I'm with you. This is a really... It was a really weird book, but it was not...
We see the part of the button, and then we move forward in time, and we see that Eobard Thawne, who is dead, somehow brought Thomas Wayne into this earth. He is watching Batman and with his every move, and then makes his approach to Bane. And it still doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think what really disappoints is that this was supposed to be, like, I feel like the way, Bane's I feel like the way, story. Well, Bane's story, yes, like, it still bothers me that it says City of Bane. Like, that's one thing that bothers me, but it's kind of like, they wanted you to feel, like, surprised that this was, like, connected in ways and you see the connections to the button. So I'm like, wait, what? Was this supposed to be like a mind-blowing moment? Where like, oh my gosh, that's right. No.
We have known this.
I think that's also something I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like, duh. Like, this is like really old. And this is not new.
Here's the problem. Now, I can completely understand that 84 issues is a really long time. And for the casual reader, you know, we may have forgotten about the button. But here's the big problem. You have one of your main characters from a different timeline that was reintroduced in the story that you want everybody to forget. So that way it's this big reveal. And we're not going to forget about it. This book has been ongoing every 2 weeks for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
We're not going to forget that because you keep reminding us.
Yeah.
And you keep reminding, hey, you know, here's this character. And then at the very end, you're like, hey, remember this character that I've been showing you for the past 3 years? Look where he's been.
This is like one of those issues that should have been when you saw Alfred like calling out to Bruce and then you see Thomas behind him. You know, like when he
right before
Nightmares, and it was something like that. This is an issue that should have been like with like Alfred when he was in handcuffs or whatever, held hostage, asking Thomas why. Why now? Why this?
Yes.
Then every single thing that we just showed here.
That's what I always wanted. I wanted Thomas's background to be shown in the most like. In the parts with the most intensity and the most, like what's the word I'm looking for? When there was the most to lose. Right now, there is, like, I have no sense of Batman losing in this book.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing, because when you see Thomas in the most epic way, you're seeing Alfred on the floor. I don't remember, did he just, like, beat up Pennyworth? I don't know. Is Penguin dead? I don't even remember. What do you do to Penny? What do you do to Penguin?
And that's another thing. Okay. We have not seen Penguin. We have not seen Penguin since the very, like, the last thing we saw of Penguin was that he was terrified because of somebody.
Yeah.
You couldn't see him, but he mentioned something about Bane. And then you're like, wait, is Bane not the big bad here? And then we realize, oh shit, it's Thomas Wayne.
Then you see Thomas. But then the thing is, like, the next time you see Thomas, like, we were hoping that you would see him. Like, you wanted to see him in small spurts, but in terrifying. The next time you see him, he's fighting Bane naked, and he's, like, in a pajama. And they're just, like, sparring.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wait. This is going to be how I'm going to be seeing Thomas? And, oh, man, this is an issue. Poorly timed, poorly executed. I feel like this book would have been so much better if it was issue 67 or something. And, like, give me motivation, even though I know the motivations. Like, this was... Dude, this is the second to last issue. Give me something besides what everyone who's been reading this book knows. And you didn't get that So the only thing that you know from current time that pushes the story forward is for Alfred, Haymaker, stay down.
I am so disappointed in this
book. It's a bummer, especially when this is like the first book I always read when it comes up. So it's the book I'm most looking forward to. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's going to be the 85 is going to be the first one I read also, but it's just like it's getting like less and less in terms of like excitement and more like, you know, if you've seen Matrix 1, like, all right, yeah, I'm seeing T2. Okay. You know what? I have to see 3. You know, you're invested in the story. So it's kind of like one of those things, like, I don't want to see it. But when you're in the world, you know the world. Let's just kind of see how the world ends things. That's kind of... And it's a bummer, man. Like, Batman right now is making me feel kind of... In the sense, like, to use a sports term, like Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson is one of the greatest NBA coaches who has ever lived. I mean, with all the championships with Jordan with Chicago Bulls, then he went to the Lakers and he won championships there. I mean, the guy's a legend. But then he decides he wants to be the general manager of the New York Knicks or vice president, whatever, and be the guy saying, well, I'm going to bring the championship to New York. And the New York Knicks have been an absolute joke for the last like 7 years that everybody just wants him to be fired. Like, everybody loathes him. And it kind of makes me feel like he is no longer being viewed and remembered as the amazing coach that he is, that pretty much, you know, in a way, like, reignited, like, the sport and brought, you know, oh, triangle offense. Like, this is a huge, big deal. No, now everybody knows him. Like, he's this buffoon that has been ruining a franchise for 7 years. That's how I feel with Batman, where you had just, to me, besides, like, the Warren Riddles, I mean, you just had great story after great arc, great arc, great arc, great arc, great arc. I was like, man, this is going to be a great arc. Like, there were arguments, is Tom King's run better than Snyder's? Like, those were actual conversations, and now, I don't know. I mean, like, when you're looking at endings of stories, you have, Mr. Bloom. Like, the end game, Mr. Bloom. You had, like, those kind of, like, man, Mr. Bloom was a terrifying, he was an awesome villain, like, and then you had the beautiful love letter. Here, you're just getting books that are just faltering, where it just feels like the Batman franchise, like, if Batman was a sport, I feel like it had a $2 billion like net worth, and now it's worth like $400 million, and now you're like the Miami Marlins, where like just 10 people go to the games, and it's a bummer.
This 85 issue run, this 3.5 years of Batman, should question whether DC should keep Batman as the face of DC. Like, at that point, that's how I feel. Like, and I know that's kind of dramatic, but...
A little, like, but I know what you mean.
Now I understand Batman is a lot more than its comics, because merchandise, movies, cartoons, whatever. But in the eyes of comic book readers, you know, I gave, in my mind, I will be completely honest, I did not vocalize... As much as what I have to say about Bendis, I did not vocalize and try to argue a lot with people who hated Tom King, because there were some issues, like we said, that we actually enjoyed and that we were okay with. And we were like, okay, it's questionable, but we'll see how, you know, this part of the story ends. And we still gave him the benefit of the doubt. I can't do it anymore. At this point, with the one story that I wanted to make sense of everything, he did nothing with.
I mean, if you were asking me, like, I don't feel very confident about 85, and one of the reasons why is because Tom King, with the majority of all his, like, maxi series runs, they are strong, like, extremely strong, until the last issue, and then I feel normally the way that he wraps up a book is usually the weakest. I'm not feeling confident that this book is going to end very well, and I honestly feel that this is going to be one of those books that are going to be maybe I mean, I think it's already been said that there's going to be a teaser of Tinian's run on 85.
Oh yeah, they've already. I
guarantee there's going to be a teaser of Batcat in the run. So I feel that to keep it at the price point that they're keeping it at, I feel that this story is going to end in like 9 pages, maybe 8 pages. Then you're going to get, no, maybe, let's say 10, and you're going to get 4 of maybe Clayman and like 4 of Tinian, and there, and then, you know, obviously the cover and stuff, bam, there's your 20 pages. And I'm like, so I feel that this is going to end, I don't know. Like, I honestly, if you were to ask me, I feel like this 85 is going to be 6 pages of reading a poem I've never heard of while they're fighting, and it's going to look gorgeous because it's probably going to be like Jannin. And then after that, it's going to be, hey, let's tease future work, and hey, make sure that you go to your local comic book store and reserve Batcat number 1. Oh, and by the way, here's James Tinian's new run. Ta-da! And three and a half years is over, and you couldn't really do anything with it.
You know, and I think that's what I'm going to be most pissed off about, is because people are going to talk about how crazy the sales were. They're going to have a really cool variant on it. They're going to have they've already announced that Tinian's preview pages are going to be in this book. And so that's what's going to drive this book to sales. And that's what's going to drive people to say, oh man, this book is perfect because of the sales, because of how it ended and things like that. And people are just going to like, oh, it's just the best book ever, blah, blah, blah. And like, it just, unfortunately, it doesn't deserve it, man. I don't think it deserves it whatsoever. I think that if anything, they should not put Tinian's preview pages on there, so that way it's not tainted by the taste of the ending of Tom King's run.
But the thing is that I think that those who are against King, obviously, you know, negativity is much louder than positivity, but I think that when you see the people that are very negative towards Tom King, and then you see if you go to conventions and you see the lines and the lines and the lines, like, this is, like, it's pretty crazy how big of a, like, a fandom he has. I mean, and I'm still part of it. I mean, I could be disappointed in the story and still love the writer. I just think that no matter what, I think that this book is still going to be perceived. I think this issue here is going to be perceived positively in the majority. And I think that scores might not reflect it, because I think, like, I'm pretty sure, like, I mean, I don't know who, I mean, I'll check now once we're done, but I'm pretty sure, like, if Jim or Eric reviewed it, they gave it like a 0.5. Maybe. And I think they gave a 0.5, maybe like a 1 because of the art. Like, if I had to guess. So I'm pretty sure, like, those scores like that are going to, you know, kind of, like, lower, like, the 10s that this book is probably going to get. But there's, I mean, to me, I would give this book, like, a 4. And the reason I would give it a 4, you know, I'll give it a 5 just because I love the art. No, you know what, a 4, because he drew the Reverse Flash. But to me, George Fornes is, like, he's creeping up there. I'm like, man, I love this guy. But I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. See, I see it now. This one is written, whose review is this? I'm not reading the actual review. Okay, so it's not Jim, but on Weird Science, like the actual website, they gave this a 2.5.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's a bummer. The only thing you could do right now is wait 2 weeks and see how it ends. And then,
well, I will, I just want to say this, because I don't want to have you so depressed and sad when we end this call. So I do no, want no, to say
I,
this.
I would say like this part will mess me up. I think like what was more upsetting was the like the 5G stuff, because like for me, I think to me like a 5G, that's, you know, like a broad scope, like that's the world. Like I'm like, oh my god, this is the future of DC. With Batman, I mean, if it's ending, it's getting to that point where, you know what, let's get some fresh blood in there. I'm not in one of those like, oh. And also, Batman doesn't do that for me like Superman does. And for some reason, I'm still interested. Although it frustrates me. I don't know why. It's one of those books that I still get, you know, kind of I still get hyped for it. It's like I convince myself, like, I get hyped for it, but then I read it and I'm like, okay. Like, I haven't, like, hated an issue that Bendis has done, like, hate, but I haven't, like, loved many. So there have kind of just been like, okay. That was $3.
And I am genuinely upset with you because I knew that there wasn't many books to read that Thanksgiving week. So I read Action Comics through and through.
In your face. I haven't even read Action Comics yet. I know that's that's like a part one, right?
And John Romita Jr. and Brian Michael Bendis together. What are you doing to me, Mark? Like, I genuinely wanted to have a conversation
Really? It was Romita?
Yes.
Yeah, because
it's Romita.
It was like an invisible
John
mafia
Romita Jr. Yeah, John Romita Jr. is going to be on that book all the way through February.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah.
See, that's more upsetting than this issue. See, now I'm depressed.
But see, I want to lift you up from that depression. I was looking at Twitter to kind of see if there was more news to come out with this week, because usually DC likes to throw some things out there, but not even DC related, and I know you'll love this. Joe Hill just posted.
Give it to me.
So we have a release date, February 7th, #Lock and
Netflix.
Key on
Let's
Netflix.
Go. Yes. I cannot wait for that freaking... Dude, have you read that book?
That's going to be good. I have read the first volume.
Did you like it at all, or was it not your cup of tea? I mean, it gets so much deeper because every volume is literally discussing one key.
I want to reread it because it's been a while. I want to say it was like one of the first indie books that I read when I was employed by the comic shop that I worked at. So I want to read it again before
I'm telling you, man,
this comes out.
It's every single key just unlocks another mystery. Yeah.
So,
oh,
I'm pumped.
So good.
But before we get on another tangent on, man, we just need, if 5G doesn't work out like within the first month, I think we should just go to an indie comic podcast.
Yeah, more than likely. If something's really bad, then we got to like recalibrate everything and just read classics or something. Or do something, because I don't know. I mean, I haven't done as much deep diving just because I don't want to like start hating my favorite publisher. But I mean, I'll take it when it comes and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. But of course, everybody, we are a part of the Nerdy Legion Network. You can find me at Fanboy Clay on Twitter and on Instagram. You can find my other show, Fanboy Comics Pod, that I seriously need to start working on
Slacker.
Twitter. And you can listen to me and Juice Wayne on Anchor, on iTunes, on Spotify with Batman News Weekly, or if you like ads, which I don't know why you would, you can listen to our podcast on YouTube every Sunday. Mark, where can they find
you? You can find me at Mark Reads Comics on Twitter. I'm posting very little right now. Just, you know, it's just something that I'm doing right now is just kind of, I'm just trying to enjoy... I'm trying to enjoy fandom as close as I can while still being, you know, getting review copies and stuff like that, but kind of in the sense of, like, what it was like being a comic book fan, before all of this started. So I'm just trying to, like, you know, just trying to see how it works. And so far I've enjoyed it, but it does feel really weird being so disconnected. Because it's like one of those things that, like, you know, everybody knows kind of what's going on. I'm like, oh, wait, what's going on? So I learn a lot of things, like, kind of, like, on the fly. But in a way, it's kind of thrilling, and it's also, you know, it has its, you know, it's like, bittersweet. But, yeah, find me. Mark Reads Comics. I'll post here and there. I mean, right now, I've done pretty good with that Black Widow one. I mean, I haven't posted in a while, and I just compare Taskmaster to Zed, Lord Zed, like, who has a better mask. And
dude, that blew up fast. I had to mute that conversation.
Yeah, that one did pretty good. See? So, I guess I just got to make fun of Marvel, and I'll get some clicks. Yes, I've learned the formula. So, with that being said, we appreciate all you guys listening. Thank you so much. It's really appreciated. If you do want to reach out to us, yeah, you can go there. Either reach Clay at his or mine, or CB_Legion. That is the podcast page. With that being said, yes, go to nerdylegion.com to the podcast network. Click there. Whole bunch of podcasts there for your listening enjoyment. Although you won't get any awesome DC content like you do here. No, you probably do. But with that being said, we will talk to you guys next week. See ya.
See ya.